We believe very strongly that every parsha, there's a lesson that's relevant to the moment we're in right now to learn from. And it happens to be every single year, as this parsha, Balosa, comes up, it's like uncanny how connected it is to this point of our year. Every year I feel the same thing. And I mention a lot of these points in, year out, because it's like, if I had to pick a parsha to almost send you off with, the next stage of your lives, or the summertime, it would probably be Balotzcha and Shlach, which are the next two parts we're going to see, Balotzcha and then Shlach. So again, there are times when it's, you know, to find that the Pshat in the middle of a Yikra and Korbanos and how it connects to, some people are very good at that, some people it's a little harder, but it's, you know, we always believe it's there, but when it comes to this parsha, Parsha Balotzcha, it's like screaming at us, and it screams at us so many times. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you over and over again the following message. We'll start with the beginning. This part's like a preview to the message. But it's something that I look at and it gets me nervous, and it gets you a little nervous also. It says in Baloscha, Daber la ron amarta leilav baloscha seneros, when you bring the nair up, el mul plei menorah, across opposite the menorah, the iru shivas seneros, you should light the seven flames. It says the word, the Rashi, the word baloscha, this is a very important line. Al shem shalahav. Why is it called baloscha? What do you mean that you pick the flames up? You light, you put the candle. What does it mean? Al shem shalav oleh. Because the flame, we know, and by the way, it's very interesting. I mentioned this one time before, and it breaks laws of gravity, right? The flames are moving up, going against gravity. It's moving up. It's reaching upwards. It says balakon, balakasan. It says lashon aliyah. You have to light it. This is an important line. You have to light it. Ad shetehei shalheves oleh meleh. Until the flame is up on its own. It's actually brought down by the Hilchos Chanukah. When you light the Chanukah candles, you shouldn't just light it and then like kind of like leap to take away and it kind of like catch itself. You should wait until the flame catches and it's a real flame and then take it, because then you really lit it. It's not called really lighting it if you touched it and it's like, you know, you see like the flickering, maybe it'll make it, it might, if it blows the wind the wrong way, it'll go out in a second. You have to wait until it's full, until it's a true flame. And look here, and from here, Darshu Rabbi Seinu Mikan. Oh, that's not that part. So one more time. Until the Shalhevitz is Olim Me'ileha. So as a Rebbe, we're told oftentimes this mushal that, you know, some things in life you give over to somebody, and if you give over to them, it takes away from you. If I have a cup of water and I pour my cup to your cup, I have less water in my cup. Just a reality. There are some things that don't work that way. When you light a candle, I have a flame. I light a candle, and I've shared with you my flame, and now you have a flame also. My flame is still the same flame it was before, and it's not taking away my flame. I'll just share with you, and you lit your candle, and now you have a flame also. Many people describe Talmud Rebbe relationships as a candle lighting a candle. That's what they describe it as. That Rebbe has Torah to give, he shares it. He doesn't go away from him. It's not like you took my Torah, I want my Torah back. You share Torah, and now we both have that Torah. And what it means over here is that a Rebbe's job is to light, inspire a Talmud. So when he leaves, it's not flickering. Will it make it? Will it not make it? It's bright. He takes it, he keeps the flame there, and he only takes it away when he sees it's full. It's on its own already. It's complete. And that is a scary thought for many reasons. You know, as a Rebbe and a Talmud, you know, separate. I'm not getting emotional yet. I said the end of years, I'm not the emotional part yet. They separate for, you know, for a period of time, for me, it could be for a long time. I don't mean on teacher yet, but I mean the Rebbe Talmud relationship that you have on a regular basis. When it goes away, so the Rebbe's got to be confident that he did his job to let that candle be lit. Now, whatever, it doesn't mean that everyone's the same. It doesn't mean that, yeah, it means I'm striking fire. It doesn't mean that. Whatever each person's flame is supposed to be like, could be meeting every day, three times a day, and learning half hour. It doesn't have to be the same as everyone else. But it means that your candle is lit. If you haven't got the candle lit, that means you can't separate yet. You can't be separating yet. And the Rebbe has a need to do his part. But the Talmud has to do his part also. And if a Talmud walks away by the end of the year, and he's not at the place where, it doesn't mean, again, I want to repeat, it does not mean you come in Shana Bet. It does not mean that you're learning in Kol. It doesn't mean that. It means whatever you're supposed to walk away with, you have in your back pocket. If you haven't got that yet, and maybe whatever it should be walk away with, that's a question you should be debating about. What should you be walking away with? Whatever that lesson is going to be, then it's not the time to go. And someone's going to be at fault. Did the Rebbe pull back his flame too quickly? Or did the Talmud not let himself be lit up? Whatever it is at the end of the day, but it's the end of a moment, an end of a part of life that's supposed to be you walk away with your flame fully intact. Some of you, I think for sure, can say they're in the process of doing it. And a week and a half from now, it's all we have left about it. It'll be lit. Now again, could there be a wind that blows it and gives it a challenge in life? Absolutely. Nothing is guaranteed. We don't walk away with a, you're not in a glass box from now on. You're a flame that's lit. And as you know, any flame that's lit, you can have a wind blow it out. Things could happen. But certainly, it doesn't happen because you didn't make sure it was lit enough. The Rebbe and Talmud have to share that responsibility. That's my job, and it's your job. And that's already one lesson I want to just keep, I guess, to myself, say to myself and to you. You know, so someone said before to someone else, I don't want to say who it was, because I don't want to, well, I'll say Max said it to someone else, I'm going to say who he said it to, because it's Lashon Hara, say it on tape, that you have a few minutes, you have a few extra minutes, 1 minute left, you know, you do what you can in that minute. Whatever you can in that minute. There's never a time that you want to call it, you know, a day, separate the flame, the wick from the flame. Why would you want to do that? You might need a little more extra insurance, even an extra minute of extra insurance, extra words of Torah, to let the light be higher and higher, so when you leave, it's not a question of how high your flame was. But we did everything, me and you both, in our power to bring you the highest flame. That is necessary when we separate our wicks from each other. One way to figure out, by the way, you know, where that flame should be is, and a question you should ask yourselves often, is where do you see yourself in 10 years from now? What's your table look like, your Shabbos table? Keeping Shabbos, let's hope, right? Obviously. What's your wife going to be like? What are your kids going to be doing at the Shabbos table? Will it be, you know, those miros and some divrei Torah and some funny stories and jokes and, you know, how was your week? Or will it be, you know, Lashon Hara, whatever sport event which is happening around us, some political thing going on, the rabbi's speech, how bad it was, what's it going to be? Whatever you envision for yourself in 10 years from now, a flame works that you're supposed to be building it up now. There is no magic trick. You say, oh, you know, when I go back, I'm going to need it every day when I go back. What about now? If you want it when you go back, then you need it now. If you want when you're married to have a certain lifestyle, then you need to start doing that now. It doesn't work that way. People say all the time, when I'm, you know, ready to get married, then I'll start doing X, Y, and Z. It doesn't work that way. Literally, it's not a switch that you flip. And when the time comes, okay, now I'm going to start doing what I, you know, all along should have been doing. It doesn't work that way. However you envision your 10 years from now self, now is the time to be building up what you need to make that a reality. Anything short of that means that you have a dream that's never been fulfilled because you're in a dream world. It's not going to poof happen 10 years later. It doesn't work that way. So now is the time to picture what do you see yourself as, and before you leave here, make sure your flame is burning and heading in that direction. But now the lesson I want to really leave with you with this parsha and show you how many times it comes up is unbelievable. It's like mama screaming our name if you look in the right sources. In the ninth parak tes in pasuk aleph it says Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana hashenis zam be'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon lemur. This event is happening right now. In the second year to their first, there's like the first year out of Mitzrayim, it's the second year right now, in the first month, which means Nisan, because with our calendars, we're Nisan, we count as the first, because when we became a nation, it's basically almost a year to the day, 2 weeks less than a year to the day when we left Mitzrayim. Right now, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph. But Midbar, Aleph, started in a similar way, but a little bit different. Listen to the words it uses there. Aleph, it says, the Be'er Hashem Moshe, bin Bar Sinai, Ba'ol Mo'ed, Be'achar L'chodesh Hasheni B'Shana Hashenis. It's a month later. Meaning, Perek Aleph B'Midbar starts a month later than Perek Tes B'Midbar. What's going on? So Rashi here makes a note of that. And Rashi says the following thing. It says, Rashi, B'Chodesh Hashem, Parsha Shabrosha Sefer lo nemer ad Iyar. But Midbar starts in Iyar. This starts in Nisan. It's a month earlier. We're a month earlier now, eight prakim later. Limadta she'ein tenebuk temucha b'Torah. To teach you, it's an important rule you should know. Not always is the Torah written in chronological order. But now here's a question you have to answer. V'lama lo pasach b'zu. But why not start with this one? This is when it happened. We have to have a reason why we don't start with it. Listen to this line. It says Rashi, Neshi Gnusan Shal Yisrael. Because this would be a terrible way to start off the book. It would be embarrassing for us to start off this way. Why is it embarrassing? She called Arba'im Shana, she used to open Midbar. For all 40 years we're in the Midbar. This was the only time we ever get to Korban Pesach. We missed 39 straight years after this one. I don't want to hide a fact. This was our one time we did it right. In all the 4 years of Midbar, was this one time? I don't want to hide it. I want to save it till later on, kind of get in the middle of the story, rather than start that way and be like, whoa, it's like, this was the only one. Whoa, what happened the rest of the time? I don't want to hide that fact. That's what Rashi says over here. Now, many ask a question on Rashi. The question is, if you look in the Chumash when it describes the Korban Pesach, right, you know, the first time and right now, it was a mitzvah that was given to us to do when we got to Eretz Yisrael, this year being the one exception. We're putter from Korban Pesach when we're not in Israel, except for this one first time. What's the Gnai? Why is it degrading? I was putter. I wasn't there for it. The rule was, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, then you bring Korban Pesach, but I want you to start now the first time, besides, he says Mitzrayim, one time right now, keep it going, and then when we get there, we'll do it the next time. What's the embarrassment? Why am I embarrassed then? It's the rule. I kept the rule. Why is that embarrassing? I saw one time this question asked, I think it was in Ketosis and Kiddushin, I forget which daf it was on, and he says, the reason why I was embarrassing is, why are we stuck in the Midbar for more than a year? Why were we there for 40 years? Anyone know why? What's that? The Meraglim. Okay, Meraglim, the Eagle's Up, whatever, we did certain errors that they caused it. We were supposed to get in, we'll see, right? Within less than, you know, we were going to have a second year out of Israel. We should never miss even one day of Korban Pesach. 1 year of Korban Pesach. But because we made a crime, made a mistake, something wrong, so we're punished for that. Okay, that's an answer. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, whatever happened, it happened. We're putter from giving Korban Pesach. What is the Gnai? What is so degrading about it? He says a line that is so powerful. Let me if you get cold. So powerful. He says a Gnai doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. But a Gnai is still painful. You know what's painful? To have an opportunity and miss it. It's painful. I'll give you a good example. Your friends invite you to go somewhere with them and your car broke down and you couldn't make it to go to some game. You missed the game, your car broke down. And it was the best game in the history of games. Whatever game that was in college basketball, it's like Kentucky versus Duke, the famous Christian Leitner shot, if you know what I'm talking about even. It doesn't matter if you do or you don't. It was the game to go to, and you missed it because your car broke down. Now, is that your fault? It's not your fault. But you're like, no, why? I missed the game of games. It's okay, it's not your fault. What do you beat yourself over? What do you mean? Because I could have been there. Okay, it's not, I didn't do anything wrong, but I missed an opportunity. Opportunity, you don't stop and say to yourself, okay, whatever. If you feel like what you missed was a big deal, then you're pained over whether it's your fault or it's not your fault. It brings down an Avraham Avinu. It says that when he was leaving his father Terach, it says that his father Terach died. Father Terach died in the end of Parsha Noach, and the beginning of Lechlech says that he went on his way. Says Rashi, at the end of Parshas Noach, if you do the math, you'll see that really Avram's father died 65 years later than Avram leaving Lech Lecha. He left 65 years earlier. But the Torah says that he died, and only afterwards says he left. Why? So Rashi says here, you know why? Because you know how bad it would look for Avram Avinu to leave his dad at the ripe old age of 140 years old? 145, whatever it was, 145 years old? And leave him alone by himself, to fend for himself? Just to die at the age of 210? Remember how did you die that? It's embarrassing. It's a gnai. It's embarrassing. We should protect him and hide it from him. What's the gnai? Why did Avram go on a journey? Why did Avram leave? What's that? But why did he... Who told him to? Hashem told him to go. What's the embarrassment? He listened to God. Where's the busha? Says the Maharal in both cases. The Gur Aryeh, he's commenting on Rashi, the busha is that he missed on a mitzvah. He was supposed to miss it. Hashem said, miss it. You're right. So what? It's a busha that he couldn't do it in the end. It's embarrassing. It's painful. You miss an opportunity, you should be in pain. When something is no longer available to you anymore, you should be in pain over it. You miss the morning Seder because you're sick. You should be in pain over it. You have to leave early for some reason. It should hurt your heart. When the Zman is over and you go home afterwards, you should be in pain over it. You know why? Because opportunities are no longer available for us. We lost some opportunities and they may never come back again. I pay for the year tuition, the year's over. I was sick, I had a fever, what do you want me to do about it? I want you to feel bad that you couldn't do it. It's not your fault, but you should feel bad. Imagine what happens to a boy. Picture your friend, friends like this yourself, who was dying to come to Israel for the year. He was dying to. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Financially, it didn't work out. Schools he wanted to go didn't take him. His parents said no. Now, you see him later on, right? He was dying to go. You come back, you see him later on, you go visit him. And he's now in college for the year, having a great time. Check his Instagram account, his Facebook page. He's having a great time. And he's not crying over the fact that he missed out. He's probably over it. If he would cry, how could I miss that opportunity, that chance? And he never would have done those actions because he'd feel terrible about it. I said this to Adrian the other day, actually, about Shana Bet a little bit. When a person says himself, I'm a Shana Bet guy, but your parents say you can't go back. Your college says you can't go back. Whatever reason you want to say why you didn't go back in the end. Most of the reasons, are not really good reasons anyways, most of them. But let's say it was a good reason why you couldn't go back anyways, let's say. Good reason, right? And you really couldn't go back for some reason, because you were, you know, the Israeli government wanted to arrest you for crimes that they thought you committed. You know, of course it wasn't you, but you had to flee the country. So you couldn't even shun a bet. So the only reason I can imagine why it's a good reason not to come back, shun a bet, right? And now you're not here. But you say to yourself, but I'm a shun a bet guy, and I'm in pain that I can't be there right now, and I'm still a shun a bet guy, even though I'm not there. Then you won't ever post on Instagram those things, because it never would have happened to you. Because you don't understand that I'm in pain, that I can't do those things. I'm not okay with what I missed out on. Sittis. You don't wear sittis. You don't have to wear sittis. If you have a four-corner garment, you don't have to wear sittis, right? You putter. Who would ever want to give themselves a tour for that? Who would ever want that? You want to create the tour for yourself? You're okay with not being able to do a mitzvah better? Imagine what happened in the following scene. You're given a stock investment. And the guy says to you, I'm telling you, maybe it's insider trading, maybe not, I don't know how you want to say, but this stock's about to double. Invest. And you're like, I just invested last week in a long-term, you know, investment. I can't. He's like, no, just get out of it. I can't get out of it. And then you're stuck and you can't do it. And you watch the next day, the stock triples. You're like, oh, whatever, you know. What am I going to do? Oh, why? I wish, if only. What do you mean if only? It wasn't, you're nothing, no choice. It wasn't, you're nothing available. No, because I could have, but you could really couldn't have. It was out of your hands. You know what? But I lost an opportunity. The pain of to lose an opportunity is like, it's real. It's real. A person who looks at life that way, you're pained when you miss the chance to be better. That's a gnai. The Torah is telling you over here, it's true you were putting to get back to Eretz Yisrael. You're putting to get back to Eretz Yisrael. It's true. But that means you had 39 straight years of missing an opportunity. Painful. There's a wild, wild story here that's like unbelievable. And it's so against most of us, unfortunately. As we mentioned, we see the awesome Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chaf Hei, Al Chaf Hei, Beis. There was a story when the Pesach was reintroduced to Klal Yisrael this second time, a year out of leaving Mitzrayim, it was reintroduced to us, and there, not everyone could partake in it. Gemara and Sukkah brings down who were these people? You know, were they, you know, people who took care of Nadav Aviu? People who carried Aaron's, you know, the Aaron Shal Yosef? Were they people who stopped, had a Mason Mitzvah? Whatever it was in the end, they couldn't be partake of it. You know what that's called? They were putter. For good reasons, right? What'd they say? What was the two words that they say? Lama nigara. Why should we lose out? I mean, why? Because you're tummy, for good reasons, you did a good thing, kol kavod to you, you're putter. They refuse to accept the loss of possibility. Why should we lose out? I don't want to be putter. I'm not interested in losing an opportunity. There are others in the room, myself included sometimes. On a Monday and Thursday, and the chazi is a clap and goes straight to Kaddish instead of a hurachum. Who shed a tear over that? Lama nigara. It's chaval. Hey, fist pump maybe, a little like look around, got some extra time for lunch maybe, a little breakfast, extra breakfast, and a little nap time. No b'rachim. What? Lama nigara. Why did I miss a chance to daven more? I missed an opportunity. Can you believe what they said? Who in their right mind would ever say such a thing? You know who? Someone who wants nothing more than to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's who. You know who says, "Ugh, I missed the opportunity to invest in a bank, in a fund, in a stock"? Who wants nothing more than to have more money? Something that people want, and they don't want to miss the chance to have more money. That's who says it. Who says "Lama nigara" to Moshe Rabbeinu? The one who has to have no missed opportunity to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not a minute, not the last week of yeshiva, not an extra month if you can come back. No opportunity should ever be lost upon me. God gifted me a life, He gifted me a world to be part of. Why should I lose out any chance to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam? And he said, Lama Nigara. The Rashi there says, Moshe Rabbeinu should have written this before he was even given this question. Why didn't you know about Pesach Sheni beforehand? So says the Rashi, and the Medrash says, you know why? Because we're malamed in Zchusay Zakai. I want people who are Zakai, who are good people, to introduce good topics. And he uses this also by Benot Slavchad, the daughter of Slavchad, whose father had no sons. They didn't want to miss out on getting the land of Israel. They wanted to be part of Israel. And therefore they begged, please let us have a land. In the end, they were the ones who were married. And it says, because of them, we want to tell about the Pasuk of, if you have no sons, you only have daughters, they still inherit. But the Moshe Feinstein asked in Drash Moshe, I don't understand. We don't even know who these people are. The Gemara took us a machlokas who they were, they were doing. I don't even know their names. How is it teaching me like the zchus that they should get? I don't know who they even are. Who am I celebrating Lama Nigara about? I know B'nai Slavchad, but who are these people? He's not mentioning their names. Which finds the following unbelievable shot. You know why he says under their names? Because they were just regular people. That's why. Because if they had their names, you would think, oh, they're the big tzaddikim. And they should have this attitude, Lama Nigara. But me, I'm a regular guy. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's not true. They were regular people. If I told them, you wouldn't know that. Plony Almoni. Joe Schmo, that's who it was. But you know what? He wanted so bad to get Korban Pesach, Hashem says, I'm going to write about you. But I'm not going to know your name. Because you're just a regular guy. And they should learn out that even regular guys make a great impact when they want it bad enough. If their heart is so interested in it, they make the biggest impact also. Last point, and I'll let you go. And Sefer Lahagin, which is about a lot of the people who were the Magidim, who went around telling stories, telling mashals to help inspire people. So Sefer Rav Shlomo Shvat Rome, who sung over this piece, says the name of his son-in-law, whose name was Rav Chaim Leib Orbach. Look at the following question that he had. An interesting story. Think about this for a second. Picture Suda Masekis on Erev Yom Kippur. Right, you have the final Suda. He says, he tells a story that he would see people walking in, and he'd walk into the room and people are crying. The day's about to come. Yom Kippur, it's scary. He's crying, he's eating his soup, he's mixing his soup and his tears together, he's crying about it. And the whole entire davening, you know, Baruch Shem, he screams Shem, Baruch Shem, Baruch Shem, like an angel in Shema. And then when the Marim happens, after Yom Kippur's over, the Baruch Shem is very quiet again. Why is the guy pre-Yom Kippur more in Yom Kippur mode than the guy, he hasn't even eaten yet. He's still in his kittel. Why is he less in Yom Kippur mode? This is the following line. This is very important for all of us to understand. It all depends on your mindset. The guy before Yom Kippur starts is thinking about the upcoming holiday and what he's going to do about it. His mind's on Yom Kippur and he's terrified and he's crying. He's not in Yom Kippur yet. The guy at Maariv by Baruch Shem, can't say Baruch Shem Kippur. You know why? Because his mind is out of Yom Kippur already. He's thinking about eating. It's over. The fast is over already. He's not there anymore. Your mind defines who you really are. Even sometimes more than your actions. Your mind determines what you're up to in life. I'll tell you this unbelievable story he describes about things that people remember in their minds. Your mind has such power, you don't know about your mind. You don't understand what's even in your mind. He tells a story over here. These surgeons were one time doing a surgery on a woman in Israel, and they were doing it as a open brain surgery. It's a brain surgery, and while they touched maybe some part of the brain, the woman opened her eyes and started singing opera in Italy, in Italian. They're like, whoa. And they obviously like took a step back and waited for it to finish because it was dangerous to move around when someone's singing. And then she stopped and like, I guess, went back down again. And they finished the surgery. At the end, they said to her, you know, do you know any Italian songs? Oh. They played her the song she sang. They found the song. They played it for her. She says, I've never heard it in my life. It's like, can't be. You sang it. You sang it in the middle of our surgery. So she was like, racking her brain. I think if I remember, she says, when I was 5 years old, I remember there's a story that happened. And people were on, we were on a trip on a teal with my family. And there was an Italian couple near us. Maybe that's a song they were singing. Maybe that's what it was. And that's maybe that's where I'd heard it from. Deep in the recesses of their brain, we have no clue even what your brain is holding inside of it. Whatever you see is in your brain. So, on the other hand, Rosh Hashanah said the following thing. When I was 5 years old, he said, you know what I remember? He said he was actually orphaned at a very young age. When I was 5 years old, I remember my father walking me to school every day with a towel over my head so I shouldn't see preachers around me. I remember that. He said, I remember every day. I said, I remember going. My Rebbe taught me Chumash for the first time. And when they sang Hamach Golot Timi Korah, and they threw candies at us. I remember that when I was 5 years old. I remember that story happened when I was 5 years old. You live in Eretz Yisrael, and your life revolves around Kedusha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're a five-year-old kid, those memories are engraved in your mind. And forever you think those things, forever that's what's happening. But when we're 5 years old, you know what we're doing? We're in America. What we're doing is we're like watching our ball games, rooting for our teams, dressing up like them, trying to learn their moves. That's what we think about. That's in our brains. I was in the way of shul with someone recently. I was in my house. If everyone was with me at the time. One of my neighbors was outside playing the block like right before Shabbos started. You're with me at the time. And they're decked out in like, you know, Kevin Durant jerseys with like the headbands. And I moved away from America to get away from that. He's doing some kissing of his. I don't know what he was even doing, the kid. Something he must have seen one of them do. That's what a five-year-old kid should be thinking about? And the answer for most of us is, of course, if we're 5 years old, what do you think? If you're thinking about your father wrapping up his towel so he shouldn't have tumah enter into your eyes. Because that's in your brain later on also. It's in your brain. So we think about how your Rebbe taught you the first words of Torah that you ever learned in your life and threw candies at you. So the sweetness would always remember. The candies and Torah come together. It's so sweet for me. But that's not what we do. That's not where we are. And our mind is not like that. And the worst part of it all is the last piece of this week's Tarsha I want to share with you. Is that we have a strange letters in the middle of nowhere in our parsha, the backward nuns, right? In the middle of nowhere, the backward nuns come up in the Torah. I'll read the part right, just where they're found. It says, "Vanan Hashem alehem yomam ben asam min amachanef." And the shishi and beginning of I guess of the next part, it says, "Vahib backward nun vahib in so aron vayomer Moshe who Hashem ifutzu vechem nusim misenechem penecha." And the backwards nuns. Next plus of Ahik Am Kimis Onanim. Rabbi Hashem. What are the nuns doing there? So the Gemara in Shabbos of Kufta Zion says, what they were doing there is they were separating Puranos from Puranos. There's bad things happening back to back. I don't want to have them happening back to back. We gotta have something there in the middle. Let's put strange letters, backward nuns in the middle, so they're separate from each other. Okay, why nun? Why backwards? Great questions, not for now. What was the first thing that happened? By even so Aaron. What was bad about that? That doesn't sound bad. When the Aaron moves, Moshe says, get up, we're going. What? That's a bad thing? I need a nun to separate you from that? So Tosfos in Sechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tezayim Aleph, and this is all of us right now. All of us. Myself included in some ways. He quotes Rashi and explains what it was about. He gives a shot. He says, that's not what the Puranas was. You know what the Puranas was? The worst thing that happened, back when it had to be there for, to separate from bad to bad, is that they left Har Sinai. They left Har Sinai. And it says the following lesson I'll read to you inside Tosfos. Kitinok hayotz mibeis ha-sefer. Picture yourself leaving school, right? The bell rings, last day of school. You grab your knapsack and you bolt out of there. Summertime, baby! We have a good time now. And like leave the school behind you. Ah, like free of that like burden. Right now, in the Torah, we're about to walk away. We're leaving Har Sinai. We're leaving. We got up and we left. And it sounds like in the Gemara that we had a nun there because we left happily. Finally. Like I can get on. yeshiva. All right, it's almost over. A week and a half left. People count down the days. Remember, there was a guy years ago. He calls it Tziras Gomer. Tziras Gomer. He's counting down the days. When it's over, it's almost done. And as the last few weeks, soon to be days, minutes, are clicking away, like it's almost over. Because our mind is post Yom Kippur, our mind is post Yeshiva. We're ready to go on, and because of that, that's where we are. Also, we're out. We checked out. Lama nigara. Why should you miss out on the last moments of your final experience of the Shana Avboy at least? Why should you miss out? And the reason why is because you're a little baby running from school. You're like, it doesn't sound like a boy, like a teenok who runs away from something. Like an opportunity to learn in a yeshiva. You know who does that? A baby. A baby who doesn't understand what the world's about. A person who's not sophisticated in understanding what we're here for. He's a baby. He runs away. He runs to go on a trip instead of the last days of yeshiva. He runs to try to find something to do instead of being part of his final moments in yeshiva. It's a baby. But he doesn't understand what he's missing out on. You should be screaming in your heart, Lama Nigara, how can I keep this going? Why couldn't I have more time right now? If only I could have done more. Like Oscar Schindler in the Schindler's List, as he's given his last thing he can give, I could give a ring for another Jew's life. As it's over, as it's ending, he could have done more. I'm supposed to be checking out? Only babies check out. Because they don't understand what the world's about. They're checking out to go where? To find more time to waste. To watch more videos, and more movies, and more Fortnite games, and more Netflix seasons. And more running after the most ridiculous things in the world that take you away from what you're here for. It's like you have in front of you like $1 million or like, you know, or a little ball to bounce around. And you say, oh, that ball. So nice. And they're called babies. That's what babies do. Babies play with a ball instead of taking pieces of paper that are worth millions of dollars. That's what babies do. You run away from yeshiva, you're a baby. You don't know what you're looking for. You're looking for... You're waiting for the time to end? There's a minute left. The week and a half left. I'll go on a trip. Lama nigara. Where's my flame? Where's your flame? How do you explain to yourself when you walk out of yeshiva and your flame is still flickering? Until the smallest little wind comes and it's all gone. And then the smoke comes up and the flame is done. Because that could happen to any one of you. If your flame is not full, and your flame will never be full if you're looking beyond right now. Because right now you have the chance of a lifetime sitting in front of a gold mine. To miss a minion right now? Shame on you! To come late to a Seder? Lama nigara! How could you possibly, right now, not soak up everything, not go to bed crying that it's almost over? Because it all depends on where your mind is at. I'll give you a bracha. You should be brainwashed. You should be brainwashed from all of the ridiculous things you think are so important. And all the distracting things in your life that are so significant in your life right now, I can promise you right before you die, it won't matter anymore. Your Fortnite records don't matter. How many seasons you watch doesn't matter. The amount of money you made also doesn't matter. You know what matters the most? What goes with you to Shemayim are your Maisim Tovim and your Torah learning. That's it. You want to leave that early so you can get a quicker start to get to college? You're a baby. You want to take a trip right now and go on a journey and spend a day somewhere else at a yeshiva? Shame on you. I pity you. I pity that you didn't understand what it means to be a ben yeshiva. That you got your bags packed just waiting for the bell to ring. Because the Torah felt that was so terrible. I'm going to invent backward nuns to put in the Torah so no one should think I should pile bad things on bad things. That's a really bad thing, says Hashem, says Tosfos. Put a backwards nun there, because right, you know what nun means? Nun stands for 50 is Bina. You can look up here. I was 50 is the age of Bina. You know what backwards means? It means you're backwards in your Bina. You're completely backwards in what you think is understanding the world. You don't get it. You run from Beis Sefer, you should be running to the Beis Sefer. Not running away from it. God should give you the gift of having your brain washed, to have it clear, to have understanding what you're here for. So Hashem, we should run to the Beit Sefer, not run away from Beit Sefer. Have a good Shabbos.